morning.
We're going to start with prayer and get into some worship. So, Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that, Father, help us to get into your spirit of worship. Lord, help us to enter in and just really just seek your heart, Father, and just have that open communication with you, Lord. Ask you what you want us to learn today, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord, just to help us just to die to our flesh, Father, so that we can be more open to hearing your spirit, Lord. And just pray that you help us in worship time today. Amen. Amen.
All that you've done for me.
songs and picking them. I just wanted, it's neat. I wanted to pick all these songs about how the Lord loves us, He never fails us, and Jesus laid His life down for us. And as I was picking the songs, in a way I was kind of convicted too, because here we have the Lord of the universe that loves us. And how often do we cheat on Him? Do we not do what He says? You know, it's like He's given us this beautiful gift of love. And in a way, we're kind of like, okay, and I'm just going to keep on doing whatever I want to do. This is a conviction that I'm saying is put on me, too. This is not on anyone, you know, unless you're feeling it right now. But the Lord loves us so much that He laid His life down. And how do we respond to that? You know, as we sing these songs, we'll think about how we respond. He's given us a brand new life. Are we holding on to our old one? Are we still in our sin? You know, I could name, obviously, so many different things. Are we still using horrible language all the time? You know, are we still choosing to hold on to drugs and alcohol and things that held us down? You know, I'm not saying everything's horrible, but you know what I mean. To that point of sin, you know, are we still living in lust? You know, are we still having problems with, you know, lustful things? Father, I pray right now, Lord God, that we understand the depth of Your love, Father, and everything that You truly did for us, so that in response to You loving us, we can say, I'm going to take this brand new life that You gave me, Father, and I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to be a new creation. Father, help us to do that, Lord. Please just speak to us and give us Your wisdom, Lord. I pray, Father, that right now, Lord, that we can just give our hearts to You and say, Lord, forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for those times when I am unfaithful, when I don't believe, Lord God, when I feel my old life calling me again, Lord. Help us to drown out those sounds, Lord God, and only hear Your beautiful voice, the voice that loves us and completes us, Lord God.
Unfailing love. praise you just for loving us and for not failing us, Lord God. And even when we feel like we are going to fail, Lord God, that love can take over and it can give us the strength, Lord God, to be overcomers, Father. Overcomers are going to inherit your kingdom, Father, help us not to be stumbling blocks to other, Lord God. Help us not to cause the weaker to stumble, Lord. Whether that be a sibling or a brother and sister that's close to us, Lord God. And help us to have a higher standard, Lord God. Help us not to cause our children to stumble, Lord. Help us to be strong in you, Father, so we can be strong for them, Father. Help us to love them and guide them and teach them in your word, Father. Even if it hurts sometimes, Lord, I pray that you help us with that, Father. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but sweet are the kisses of an enemy. Father, I know that sometimes when you speak to me and you tell me to change and you guide me, sometimes it can hurt a little bit because I'm scared or I don't want to let go. But that love and correction, Father, that's what makes me deeper in you and stronger, Father. Father, help us to love each other how you love us, Lord God. Help us not to ignore sin and think that that's love, Father. Lord, that doesn't give us a license to be mean or be rude. Lord, it has to be out of love, Father. Lead us, Lord.
Far and wide, oh, but I know.
Thank you, Father, for having us be part of your family, Lord, and for loving us, and for giving us a chance, Lord, and for being so good to us, Father. Every time I see it, I just feel so like in the Lord's presence, just worshiping Him. Father, help us just to all feel that today, Lord God, as we're worshiping, Lord, and as we're hearing Your Word. Father, help us just to feel Your presence, Lord.
You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are.
midst of trouble, you will be revived. You will stretch out your hand, O Lord, against the wrath of your enemies, and your right hand will save you. The Lord will perfect that which concerns you, my children. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand.
It was all messed up, but it was pretty crumbly. But it was still good.
Junior, I don't know where it is because you are, but happy birthday. Hey, we have a couple things as you guys are getting settled in. Just to let you know, a couple of amazing praise reports. First, thank you for everybody who's praying for Michael Gold's mom, Helen, who is here in church with us today. Praise the Lord. Yes, yes, not only that, but the world famous Dave Seacrest and his knee surgery is healing, and I saw him come up from the walker. He had to park way in the back of the back, the poor guy, and walk all the way up to the walker with the bad knee, but he made it to church. Dave Seacrest, praise the Lord. And not only that, Jim Mayam said, that's right, sorry. They're not here today. That's right. They texted me. They're not going to be here Sunday. But they did want me to mention and to say thank you for this body. I can't remember. It was their daughter-in-law or
their daughter's mother-in-law.
Thank you. Yes, the daughter's mother-in-law. Right. She was diagnosed with sepsis in her body. And I didn't put this in the text when you guys were praying for her on the prayer text chain. But just so they told her, she basically had... There was no chance for her. She was a goner. And so she put it on the prayer chain, and you guys all prayed, and she's healed, and she's out. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we got a few things this week, and so since I don't have my... normal announcement sheets. I'm just going to go from memory so you guys can shout out if I forget things. Okay? So let's start off with Tuesday. Tuesday is the women's Bible study. Yes?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. Just making sure.
Also
Valentine's Day. What better spot? It's kind of typical of the Lord. But, so, Dan, don't feel like you have to come. And so, anyway, Tuesday's women's group, we're going through the nature of Jesus. And I remember Gary saying, you know, as far as hearing from the Lord, he said we want, you know, the men's group to go through that. He used everybody to go through with that. Listen to Gail Irwin and the nature of Jesus. And I would actually agree with him. And that sounded kind of surprising. I actually agree with Gary. But anyway, so that's Tuesday. At what time, Lisa Lou? What time again?
6:30 for salads and fellowship,
okay.
And then 7 we start.
Okay, all right. So 6:30 salads and fellowship, and then 7 to start. And then Wednesday, just to let the youth know again, we're going to be starting up the youth back here, the youth group. Okay, and so we're starting that back up, and we're going to give you a fixed date here, Lord willing, next Sunday when we're going to start that up on Wednesdays again. We'll be starting off twice a month. Are doing it every other week as they get back in to the swing of things. And so that's going to be very exciting. So we're very grateful. Yes, JoJo?
Will we be meeting back at the old building?
Actually, we're going to meet here because we thought there was a lot more cool things we could do here. Like we were talking about, like, laser tag things and bonfires. Sorry, you guys can all listen to this. Anyways, like glow-in-the-dark, capture the flag stuff. We've got some lit-up capture the flag stuff. So just some cooler ideas that we've got to be able to use the property. And so we're going to be starting that up again here in the Word. And then also for the youth, we're going to have, since we're doing the very healthy thing by having the running. That's this Saturday, right?
8:30.
Yes. 8:30? Okay, at Benderson Park? Okay. The superhero run, since I don't have a slide. I know there's a bunch of the young people that are that joined. If anybody else, it's 5K. It's a superhero. People dress up like superheroes, adults, kids, moms and strollers. Everybody dresses up like a superhero, and they run the 5K around the Benderson Park. Or some of us walk. Whatever, don't judge. And so if you would like to join us, I know we've got a bunch of people signed up, and so if you would like to join us to do that, we'd love to have you. See Uncle Tom or myself or Miss Lisa, I think. And then to be really unhealthy, since we're doing a healthy thing, we're also going to do a youth thing here coming up on a Tuesday, is All You Can Eat Wing Night. At Quaker State. Right. So we're going to take all the youth out. And it's all you can eat. There's going to be a wing challenge. Whoever can eat the hottest wings. And yes, that goes up to nuclear. And then also who can eat the most wings. And so, yes. I think, what is it, in... No, there's one a little closer. What? Is it Allington? Yeah, brand together something. Let's open up. Yes, Junior.
When is it?
We're going to do it on a Tuesday night, because that's, we'll just have to figure out, I'll have the date next week. I just don't have all the slides, so I'm doing all this from memory. I don't have memory, so that's okay. So, but anyway, I want to make you aware of that. Okay, and then Thursday, barbecue and Bible study. And First Kings, I heard Tom did a great job on Psalm 1 last week. Great job, Tom. And then Saturday, this Saturday?
Yes.
Okay, Wendy Jo Lowe, this Saturday, you're having a game night here.
Yes.
Is that correct?
At 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock, and that's for everybody, young, old?
Cards, board games, whatever.
Okay, like old like Billy, or like old like me, anybody, young? Okay.
All ages.
Okay, you bring your favorite game?
Yep.
Bring your favorite, whatever that is?
Yeah, snacks and drink, or whatever.
Bring snacks and drink.
Yep.
At what time?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock Saturday, and you're just going to have time and just have them hanging out fun.
Yep.
Whether there's 5 people or 50 people, you're just going to hang out.
Okay,
that sounds cool. Okay, yes, Miss Gloria.
I was just asking if there would we bring food, finger food, snacks.
Yeah.
Gloria,
snacks.
How you cook, you can always bring food. You are always welcome. Okay,
okay,
now.
I'll bring popcorn.
Oh. Great. Is there anything that I've forgotten? Okay, great. All right, Gary, where's Gary? Gary, can you come up here?
Here. Are there any more of these papers?
Yes.
There are going to be more papers for you. Okay, so if you need a Bible, if you raise your hand, Joe and Hezekiah, can you grab some Bibles?
One more announcement.
Okay, while they're handing out Bibles, just raise your hand, and Joe or Hezekiah, or anyone, you will need one today. Yes.
One more announcement.
Yes,
Friday night.
Yes, Friday night.
Is Forum?
We had it last week.
It was last week.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
No, I have one.
So what we're going to do today is we're going to pray over Gary because he's speaking on a super important topic. He's teaching for me today, so that I can breathe. And then I'm going to pick it up next week back in Romans. But we're going to pray over him. He's going to be speaking on hearing the voice of God. And there's one thing that's so important amongst God's people is how to learn to hear his voice in many different ways, in many different forms, how the Lord speaks to us, and that he does speak to us, and that he speaks to us throughout the day, and how we have to develop sensitive ears to hear what his Spirit has to say. And so it's such an important, important topic. I just want to pray over him, and if you guys would just join me in just praying over him. Father God, we just thank you for Gary, Lord. We just ask right now that you would anoint his head with oil, Lord God. Just the balm of your hand would just heal him completely, Lord, that you would just anoint his head with your Holy Spirit's oil, Lord God. That would just drip down upon his tongue, upon over his heart, Lord. over his feet, over his hands, over everything that he does today, Lord God, that you would speak your words through him, Lord God, that nothing would be said that shouldn't be, and only those things, and those things that should be said, Lord, that you would help him to say with your heart and your spirit, Lord. And so I just pray that you would bless him, and I pray that you would just, by the power of your Holy Spirit, make our hearts ready to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say to us. So use this time and use his words. May they be your words, Lord God. And may his heart be your heart, Lord. And may his mind be your mind. So transform him right now, Lord God, even before us, that you may do the speaking. And we ask this, and we may do the listening, to hear whatever your Spirit has to say. And we ask this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Did you help me with that?
No, actually,
you're not going to hand it out.
Yep.
If anyone wants a copy of all of the scriptures supporting this, you'll get a folder up here. Just help yourself afterwards. The Lord's going to take us in a slightly different direction. When we hear from God, there's a reason for this title. I think it's important that we recognize both the fact that we're hearing from God, all-powerful, that can do anything he wants. We're hearing from something that powerful. But it's also important for us to recognize that we're hearing from Daddy, Abba Father, somebody who cares about us intimately. Cares whether we have, a hurt ankle or foot, or whether we're studying for an exam, for our work, or how our kids are doing in school. It's the same person that we're hearing from. And in human terms, we're not used to hearing. We're not used to having very powerful people be terribly caring. That seems like a one way or the other. We have a God that's perfect in both areas. It's important for us to know that. Yeah, I'd like to start. I can't use this thing. I want to spend a little moment reviewing. And then, but before I do, it's funny how the Lord works. I'm doing a teaching on hearing from God. And he told me something this week. He spoke to me through my wife. I'm sorry, guys. The Lord often does speak to us through our wives.
Yeah.
And don't confirm that. He spoke to me through Pastor Darren, and he spoke to me directly. And last week, I was concerned that there were so many texts to get through, because I wanted everybody to understand that hearing from God is very biblical. It's throughout the Bible, from start to finish. There are just literally dozens and dozens and dozens of passages. And I was so concerned with trying to get all of the biblical underpinnings, proofs, if you will, out, that I really didn't give enough time for testimonies, what the Lord might want to say through you folks. And so he brought a couple of verses to mind. First, let's go to Matthew 5, beginning with verse 15. So we read chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Okay, hold on. Somebody speak up.
Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father.
Last week, I, in an effort to try to get through all of the scriptures, and I hope I didn't shut anybody down or keep anybody from sharing their heart or what the Lord had showed them. And if I did, I'm sorry. That wasn't my intention. And what the Lord brought to me this week is that, when we do that, when the Lord does something in our lives, we should tell people about that. Right? It starts here. It starts here, you know, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that, so it's important for us to share those things here. The second verse he showed me is Romans 10, verse 17. And again, it's one that we're all familiar with. And so when we share that here, you know, and Nathan or Carl or somebody bring on with a microphone, and that, you know, we build faith in ourselves, right? Because we're reminded of what God does. We build faith in our brothers and sisters here because we see, oh, wow, the Lord did that for Pat. Maybe he could do the same thing for me or something similar to me, or maybe something even better. Who knows? But I think we also... You know, it gives us an opportunity that for, you know, if we have people here who are visiting with the early morning alert.
Maybe it's for important.
It could be that there's not a word about some type of tornado warning. You know, the move of the Holy Spirit here today. No, but the point is that, you know, it's important for us to share our testimony. And so where last week we spent a lot of time in Scripture, and that's the foundation, should always be the foundation that we build on. And then today, I really hope that we get to share some testimonies. And so I'm encouraging all of you to share the times that God's spoken to you, the times that you listened, and maybe some of the times that you didn't listen. And then share all of that so we can all benefit from it. Okay, the first sheet here is just a quick review. We'll go over fairly quickly. What do we know? Right? We know that the Lord speaks to us. Right? It's not something that happened in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not something that just happened at the time of the disciples. It happens today. And it's not just the pastors, not just the people with prophetic gifts. It's all of us. The Lord wants to speak to all of us. Second, he speaks in a variety of ways. And that the Lord, obviously, he speaks through the Bible, the written word. He also speaks sometimes with an audible voice. Sometimes he speaks through our spouses. Sometimes he speaks through our pastor. He can speak through dreams. I had an experience a couple of weeks ago. He can speak through creation. The Lord can speak through almost anything, if he chooses to do so. I think the written and spoken word work together. I think God uses them both almost together. Now, if we start with the written word, right, we know as long as we're dealing with a reasonable translation, that the written word is true, we can take it exactly as is. And that the Lord then speaks to us through another method. And that quite often, I think it's helping us apply that word to our lives. And that you know, when we go to study Scripture and we go, okay, Lord, show me how, you know, how does Romans 10, 17, what is that, how does that apply to me? How can I put that into work? How can I be changed with that? And now sometimes, you know, God will speak to us, he'll speak to us first, but then we need to confirm. It doesn't start with the written word. We need to confirm, is it truly from God? So we need to test those things. And last week we talked about some of the ways we test those things. You know, you test it going back to the Word. Does it conform to the Word? Is it in the nature of God? Is it in the nature of Jesus? Does it bring His kingdom here on earth? Can it be confirmed by people that you know are good and godly people? finally, is that hearing from the Lord brings us closer to Him and blesses our lives. There's a good reason that God wants us to hear from Him. You know, we talked about, you wouldn't expect to have a relationship with your spouse or your children where you never spoke to them. The Lord loves us. And part of a loving relationship is having a relationship. And you can't have a relationship if you don't communicate. So the Lord wants to communicate with us and bless us. And one final thing that's not on the display is that I think the more we listen and obey, the more we're likely to hear. Now, I want to reference to this. I listened to innumerable pastors on this. And one passage came in almost continual. I might spend just a few minutes on that. John 10. Again, it's a familiar passage. A lot here in this passage. I think it is clear that Jesus is the shepherd and we're the sheep. It is very appropriate because the shepherd cares for the sheep, willing to lay out his life for the sheep. And the sheep, at best, they follow. At worst, they're rebellious and they're stuck on the doors. A couple things in this passage that I want to highlight this morning. Verse 3, the NIV says, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And we recognize Jesus' voice. We're expected to recognize his voice. It's something that is very possible for us to do. And I think all of us, we've had experiences where we hear that voice and we know specifically where that voice is. The other thing that I thought was fascinating about this passage is that he leads them out. And I understand that you don't drive sheep the way you would cattle. You lead them, and they follow. But they can't follow if they don't hear. If you had a deaf sheep, they wouldn't hear anything, and they wouldn't follow. And that, so it's imperative on us to listen to the voice so we can follow. Right? Because if we don't, don't follow, we leave ourselves open to the thief. Right? We know who the thief is. Right? He's the devil, and he wants to steal and destroy. That's his job description. Unfortunately, he's really good at it. Okay, one question that I think we get often, and this is the point where I want you guys to start chipping and helping out on that. This is the moment we get. Is that how do I know when it's God's voice? Something goes through my mind, more like Pastor Darren was explaining this morning. You know, he had somebody come up to him and say, "Oh, well, Lord gave me a word for you." And it's like, well, most of the time they're either right on or they're just like way off. But sometimes it's hard to do. You know, how do you tell? Well, the first way to tell is that it's the mass written scripture. Okay? God is not confused. Right? God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So what was true in Genesis, what was true in the Gospels, what's true in Revelation, is true in 2017, and 2018, and 2019, and however long we're here. And God will not go against himself. You know, I had, please, I want everybody to contribute this morning. A couple of weeks ago, I had, and I don't dream that often, I felt the Lord showed me something in a dream. I saw a picture of a clear water glass, and a pitcher was pouring into it, but it just overflowed. And the pitcher never ran out of water, it just overflowed onto the table and onto the floor. Well, when I woke up, my first thought was, okay, Lord, is this really you? You know, or is this something else? Well, you know, he show me a passage, right? So, you know, he brought me to the passage about living water. Right? You know, brought me to the passage, that talked specifically about that. I do believe it's from him. And that, test it. And I ask the Lord, if you feel like you've heard something, ask him to point you to some scripture. Point to some scripture. Now, obviously, if you spend more time in scripture, you have a little more in your heart, and it's a little easier to hear from him. Now, there's a little more that he can bring to your mind. And that, so that's another good reason why you want to be in scripture daily. Yes, sir. Of course.
You know, as you were reading John 10, when you were reading John 10, and it was saying, talking about robbers. It was talking about robbers, you know, in John 10. It says, but the sheep did not listen to them. And I think what you're saying right now is so paramount, especially in the day and age we live in. You know, it said the robbers didn't listen to them, and that is because, you know, they know. And if you do know his word, one of two things will happen. You know, one is you won't be so quick to reject everything on the one hand and miss out on all that God has for you. I feel like on the one side of the camp, everybody shuts up their ears and study. They don't know. They don't know enough of the word to see, man, God does speak through visions and all these things. But on the other side of the camp, you know, I feel like, you know, it's like, I'll just listen to everything. And they're blown around by every wind of doctrine and every deceitful thing in their ear. And so if we really know the word for ourselves, you're going to be able to discern so much easier what is of him and what's not. And this was just a personal thing as you read that scripture, the Lord led me to this, you know, just talking about the end times, which I think we're living in 2 Timothy 4, you know, and what he's telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verses whatever it is, 2, 3, 4, I'll read it, but, you know, he's telling them, I want you to preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. You know, are we sucking in those sermons from those good teachers? I watch a lot of people who just take in anything. Man, I want to know it's solid. You know, are we reading the word for itself that says correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction? That's why we need one another, godly people. It says, for a time's coming, and I think it's here, when men won't put up with sound doctrine. They won't want it. instead to suit their own desires, so gather a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. How much more do we need to know what he says so we can hear and discern his voice clearly so that he can shine the way he wants to shine? So I just really think, especially in this time, it's such a powerful word and such a good word. Just make sure it matches with Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Well said. And absolutely true. Absolutely true. Yeah. The second thing, second way that we can know a message is from the Lord is that it matches God's nature. Right? And, you know, this is, I learned this from Gail Irwin, Exodus 34:6. All right, please join me there. You know, I know a lot of people, they're puzzled at the nature of God. What is the nature of God? What is the will of God? It must be something mysterious that I can't understand.
Keep steadfast love for a thousand, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.
So if I hear from the Lord, does it match these things? Does it match the nature of God? God isn't going to tell us to do something that doesn't match his nature. That doesn't make any sense. Is it slow to anger? Is it abounding in love? Some of the toughest messages, I think, that we get are to love the people who are unlovable. A friend of mine says, extra grace is required. EGR valve for them. Does it maintain love? Does it forgive the wickedness that people do to us? And I think a lot of times the forgiveness starts when the Lord touches our heart and says, you've been holding something against that person. Maybe time to give it up. Another way we can test is...
In Simmons, it says that they don't leave the sin unpunished, but punish the children for the sins of their parents in the third and fourth generation. If he is so forgiving and unfailing, why is he punishing children for sins of their parents four generations later? Like, if I didn't commit that crime, why am I being persecuted for the crime my great parents did?
That's a fantastic question. And I think I want to punt on it until after. Okay. Yeah. And I think it's, unless I know, Darren, you want to try to, because I don't know if you can answer that in three sentences.
No,
that's my concern.
About 5 minutes.
Yeah. That's a
good question.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's a great question. It's a question I stumbled over for a while by myself. Yeah, it's a little bit off here, but I don't want to ignore it. No, so.
Can I say
yes.
Briefly
that
make
it
off?
Yeah, you got it.
God, one thing I'd like to say regarding her comment is that God gave us a way of communicating with him to ask forgiveness, and through asking him forgiveness, we can be forgiven of those sins, and therefore we may not necessarily pay for those sins because we have been forgiven, and all we have to do is pray.
They're covered by grace.
Because God said that, ask for forgiveness and it shall be granted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially as Christians.
Yeah, I was going to say something just really fast, and I can put it into a little tiny thing real fast.
But when I think about the whole, you know, children, really quick, what I think about is how, you know, everyone in my family line was an alcoholic, or every single person in my family line. These are generational curses, you know? And at any point, we can say, I'm not going to do that because I have the freedom from the Lord. But if you look at it, if everyone looks at their family line, there's always something there where it's like they were drowning in sin, whether it's a womanizer, whether it's... I can't think of anything right now because I'm making it really quick. But the whole point is, these are things that stick with your family, and you know, when you become a Christian, you say, I'm going to stop it. You know, and then that's cool because then your kids, hopefully, are going to keep on doing the same generational curse thing too. So, but that's how I take it.
It's true. The biggest, the way I take it, and Derek can correct me, is that a lot of times the sins of a father, right, and I've seen this fairly frequently, if the father is physically abusive to his kids, it's not uncommon for his child, when they grow up, to be abusive to their children. And it goes on generation after generation after generation. And so it's not so much that, I think God is warning us here. God is warning us here. The things that we do, you know, have effects, you know, beyond us. You know, affects my kids, like my grandkids, great grandkids, and like, you know, Amy says that forgiveness, you know, grace, we can go to the Lord and break those patterns. And
but the neat thing is about it, you know, in Corinthians it says, this is the neat thing, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Right? The old is what?
Passed
away, right. And the new has come. So that's where we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, start afresh. Those things are gone. Those chains are broken in Jesus' name. Now, there might be some patterns of behavior that have to be corrected because we've done it for so long. But a new start, a new direction, a new nature has been given to you. And so those old things are gone and dropped away. You move forward in Christ, a new direction, and free.
No. That was a perfect cast. Lori?
Darren, what Darren said is so true, but it's also we have an opportunity when we come to Christ, okay, to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. When the Word of God comes in, Darren just taught on this on Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. When the Word of God comes into our heart, it transforms our heart and our mind. And then we will know God's Word and His perfect will for us. And we'll understand it. The thing is, then we pass that on. Because Jesus has intercepted into that generation, that family, and He has now said, now we're going to go this way and not that way. We're going down this road and not the old road. And so we as parents then pass that truth on to our children and warn them. This is the way our family went. Now we have to be careful and go the other way. And this is what God's Word says about it. And teach our children that we have the power to overcome those tendencies. Every one of us has sinful tendencies, but we have the power through the blood of Jesus Christ to overcome those tendencies and to go the way He wants us to go. And that is so important. That generational curse, gone.
Amen.
Gone in Jesus Christ.
And actually, that's a good segue into the next point. Does it make me more like Jesus?
Right.
And because the Lord will. And I know I've seen it, in that the Lord, somebody who has been abused, you know, the Lord will bring it to their mind that they need to forgive the abuser. And that's not easy to do. The Lord will bring it to their mind. And it has the effect that Glory says, you know, that then you have a choice. You know, do I forgive? You know, not forget. Do I forgive? Move forward. And then break that curse and have an effect on my family. That, you know, if there's a lot of ways that there's a lot of ways that when the Lord talks to us, that you know, it can make me more like Jesus, make me more of a disciple. He can remind me of His truths. He can remind me of His nature. And that, and again, you've all heard me say, I think Gail Irvin does a marvelous job of that, that we could gather that servanthood, and that we'd be a lot more like our Savior. We'd be much better disciples than that. But, you know, does He, does the Lord, the Word that's coming to me, and that doesn't tell me to be a servant to somebody. It doesn't say, hey, you know, if somebody is in need, you know, it doesn't, on a Sunday morning coming in here is the Lord saying, hey, you know, why don't you go speak to so-and-so? You know, they could use a little bit of encouragement. You know, they maybe need a smiling face, whatever it is. Does it produce the fruits of the Spirit? Let's go to Galatians 5:22. Passages we all know. And that's why it's amazing that everywhere you look, you find passages where God's speaking to us. I mean, I think really the whole book is meant to speak to us. Florence is going to jump out of her seat. Somebody get a microphone. Somebody get a microphone in front of her.
Now, before you move on, I wanted to say something about the generational thing. I'm first generation Christian. Was 46 when I got saved, so that's pretty late in life. However, none of my family was saved, and my children weren't actually on a real good path either. But when I got saved, I saw the Lord through my prayers and my behavior and my obedience to the Lord, which, you know, hearing from the Lord does take obedience. Clean heart and a clear mind, and your motives have to be right. But I saw the Lord through my prayers and my obedience to Him. Do such a change in my children, in my family. I'm still looking to see that, even if, after these years of serving the Lord. I still am so thankful that we do have the ability to take command and to break those generational sin and curses. Because, you know, as you know, Gary, we've shared, I've come from, you know, quite a mess in my family, and the Lord broke those. It did cause some destruction because of being 46 years old. There was a lot there. But anyway, I just want to say that, you know, that generational stuff can absolutely be broken. So if there's anybody here late in life who doesn't know the Lord or does know the Lord and doesn't feel like that can be done, you just keep praying for your children, because we do have that.
If my hair points right, this one, her heart has changed.
Yes.
Right? She spent time in the Word. The Lord said, here's what I would have you to do. And she was obedient to what the Lord said.
Yes. Right.
And then the Lord produced the results.
Right. Exactly. Yeah,
there's a pattern there. Right. That's a recipe. And that's not an accident.
Right.
Okay, Galatians 5:22. Is it echoing?
I'm trying to get it out. I'm having luck.
Don't mean to be troublesome. Let's see, who wants to read 5:22 for it? Yes, Neely. And then you wait for the microphone. Your voice is too tiny. Beautiful, but it's tiny.
Can I sneak in a quick comment?
Yes, ma'am. I would be grateful if you did.
Pastor Darren and or Gary may correct me later on. I believe that later on in God's Word, God says that He will no longer hold us accountable for others' sins, but
yes,
our own.
Yes.
Our own. Anyway, Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Amen.
So if what you're hearing matches those things, there is a It's not against the law. There's no law against those things.
I'll share. I like to tell them myself.
And I think the Lord likes us to tell them ourselves too. It's good for humility.
He does.
He does. Yeah. So I was feeling pretty self-righteous at one point, spending a lot of time in the Word, a lot of time in prayer. My husband was not. Not to speak badly of him, but he just, you know, different place. And I was I remember waking up thanking the Lord for all his mercy, his compassion, you know, over the small sins that I commit. Anyway, this is what I was thinking at the time. And I was cleaning up my husband's, he likes to leave his clothes everywhere. You know, dirty clothes, homework. And they stay. And I was grumbling in my heart. I was complaining in my heart that can't he just pick up after himself? And so I'm hearing this voice, my own thoughts in my head. Why can't he just pick up after himself? Why do I have to do all this? Why do I have to take care of his kids and I have to make him his food? I was just grumbling in my heart. And at the same time, I was praising God for his mercy to me, right? Pretty good. So this very clearly, the Lord spoke to my heart. And the way he speaks to me a lot of times is... it's almost like a thought that just pops into my head. But it's so contrary to what I'm thinking that it, first of all, usually makes me angry in the beginning. And then I'm like, okay, well, that's not me. So he said, oh, isn't my mercy so wonderful? Isn't it great? Oh, Lord, I love you. You're so merciful, so patient with me. And he said, but you don't want to be with your husband.
That's right.
You won't extend him grace for dropping his dirty socks on the floor? But you want me to wipe away all your stinky attitudes? Man, I was like, I felt like an ant. I was so just blown away by the fact that, yes, Christ, his greatest work in our life is to make us look like Jesus. To be compassionate, merciful, long-suffering, full of joy, putting up with other people's weakness, caring for them, being a servant. And so, oftentimes when we hear his voice, I began to hear the Lord's voice when I was younger, and it came after somebody, a Christian in love, brother and sister in the church, we were spending some time in prayer at a prayer night, and they said, hey, we want to pray over you, we want to bless you, and I said, okay, and they just were hearing for the Lord for me, and they said, now the Lord's revealing that you've got some hatred in your heart, is that true? And after that point, I hadn't really heard the Lord's voice. And I'd been a Christian for many years. And I said, yeah, of course, I hate my dad. Wish he was dead. And I said, you need to forgive your father. This is what the Word says. You need to forgive your father, walk in obedience, and don't worry if your emotions don't line up right away. The Lord will deal with it. Just do the act of obedience. And I just want to say, for me, forgiving my father was the beginning of that obedience was the beginning of starting to hear the Lord's voice, because I started to walk in obedience, regardless of the fact that I didn't feel like it. And so, just awesome, because yes, when we do hear his voice, it makes it so much, it makes it alive for today. Yes, we can read the Bible, and we feel like, oh, that happened 2,000 years ago, but when I hear the Lord put his thought, his word in my heart, man, it brings it alive today, and then it brings us humanity. And it informs us, it brings glory to Jesus, because it makes us start to look like him.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Thank God.
I saw a lot of heads shaking here. I won't ask people to raise hands, because that would be embarrassing. But I've certainly been through a similar situation. Yeah. And more than once. Yes. You want to go through that, we were fine. Okay. Does it further his kingdom?
Yeah, that's right.
Does it further his kingdom? I don't want to tell this story, it's too long, but there's no pastor. there's times that, you know, the Lord tells you to do something that it seems, you know, hard to do. Right? You know, you look at it and you know, well, when the Lord says, well, go speak to this person in a restaurant or coffee shop that you don't know. Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing to do. And yet, you know, there's times, here's a story. back when I first started working for myself, and that, you know, I was just getting off the ground, wasn't really making money. And I had a business deal that was coming together, and I'd already verbally agreed to it. And, but there was something wrong with the deal. And yet I heard the Lord saying, "You can't, I don't want you to do it." I had no reason. No reason. I was the moral, legal, you know, bad business. Just, I don't want you to do it. I thought, well, Lord, I'm not a total idiot. I gave this man my word that we were going to go through with it. But after wrestling with God for 3 days, he won 3 out of 4 falls. Actually, he won them all, but I eventually succumbed. Right, then I told this man, yeah, no, we're not going to go through it. And I didn't tell him why, but he's going to have a real first class in money. Well, 2 days later, I got a call from his partner. Turns out his partner was a believer. Right? The partner that I had been dealing with was a Christian that had kind of walked away from his faith. And his business partner had prayed that somebody would do something and that for the Lord to prove to him that business and Christianity would work together. Mm-hmm. The Lord used, you know, it made no sense to me at the time, furthered his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. I think we probably all have situations where, you know, the Lord's asked us to do something that furthered the kingdom, and you know, helped to heal the sick and set the captives free. There's times that we're being asked to do something that we couldn't do under our own power, or doesn't make sense to me. I think Natalie's story is a good one. Mm-hmm. And that the truth is that if you've been married to somebody for a while, there's probably something that they do that in your own power you cannot forgive or live with. How do we forgive those things? How do we? Because the Lord gives us not only the word, but he gives us the strength to be obedient. And see, that's the other thing that I think is important. It's not, oh, you know, I need to work up obedience. You know, if I exercise it, I'll be. The Lord even gives us the strength to be obedient. You know, I need to be willing.
Right.
I just need a willing heart. I don't need a whole lot of strength because I don't have a whole lot of strength. You know, I mean, you ask me to forgive people and me, that's not going to happen. That's what I've been asking for.
Well, about almost 2 years now, I was told by God to do something. And I was a smoker, and I had everybody at the church tell me, oh, you know, you need to quit smoking. I said, well, you know what? When God takes it away from me, that's when it's going to happen. I can't do it. I don't have the power. And until he does, I'm not going to do it. Well, a few months later, God needed me to do something, and I said, Lord, I can't do it. I don't feel right doing it with smoking. I really don't, and I just can't get rid of it. So one day I was sitting on my back porch, smoking a cigarette, talking to the Lord, you know, and he just said, put it down. And I'm like, what? You know, it was my voice in my head, but I knew it was him saying, if you're going to do it, just put it down. And I was halfway through the cigarette, and I put it down. And instantly when I obeyed, I had no craving, no urge. I was so worried about anger because not having it. It was all gone. It was just all gone. So it was the point of me willingly to wanting to do what God wanted me to do, but knowing I had a sin that I felt that was keeping me from doing it, and then obeying him in the point when he said, this is what I'm going to do. Put it down, and I'll take care of you. So,
I think it's important for us to get the obedience part. Mm-hmm. And I know in my mind, it's like, okay, well, I don't
don't see how that's going to work out. Right? And I'm a smart guy. I can figure things out. I don't see how that's going to work out. Right now, I'm sure the doctors go, no, nicotine addiction, there's no way that it just disappears.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Right? And I'm sure that's what the doctors and scientists and all of the pharmacists and those people would say. God says, obey. You don't have to see the results. I mean,
that's right.
This is a strange story. There was
I have no issues with my lungs whatsoever.
Yeah.
He did not take it away. He took everything away.
Wow, that is.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference in that's when you know that got, because I've had x-rays and stuff afterwards, and there's nothing there. And you know that's God.
there's times that God does things that it just, a couple of years ago, another person and I, we were praying for a fairly unbelievable, he was about 40, his daughter, well, it was actually his stepdaughter, it was his second marriage for the wife, and the daughter was about 14 at the time, and she had two brain tumors, and they weren't cancerous, fortunately, but they were growing, and they were causing seizures, which I can't imagine self-worth for a 14-year-old girl to suddenly, be in high school, suddenly, had a seizure, they could operate on one safely. The other one was right next to the section of the controlled speech, and they were afraid that if they operated, that she'd never speak again. And so they were afraid to operate. Well, we prayed with the father, and we that they worked on me that we should pray for the daughter, that the blood vessels would no longer support the tumor. But the blood vessels would not support the tumor. And that's like, oh, come on, boy. That's pretty weird. So I asked, I asked the person that, I was praying, we were acting together, Maria, and let's see what you get. Confirmed, we called the mother, father, father, daughter, and we prayed. And then I went through the biblical stuff on prayer. And it seems strange, but a couple weeks later they go in, and the doctor's showing the doctor, here's the blood cells. Weird, it stops right before the tumor. And the tumor shrank enough where they felt they could operate. And I was blessed to see the family, because they got another kid. Blessed to see the family last summer. The girl, she's 16 now, she's driving. She's been to a dance the night before. Understand, this has, my only part of this was obedience.
Right.
God did not do this because I'm anything special.
Right.
He does not, I don't think he speaks to any of us because we're special. He speaks to us because we love him.
Right.
I mean, because he loves us. I'm sorry.
It's
a two-way street.
Yeah, exactly.
But he speaks to us because he loves us and he wants a relationship. It isn't because of what we do.
Right.
It's more weak. Okay.
All right, one more.
Okay.
The Lord's been talking to me to mention this here, okay? I kept saying, no, Lord. Anyway, I don't know if anyone, this week I happened to turn on Dr. Oz. I don't always watch him, but this week I did. I don't know if anyone watched him. Anyway, it was a real testimony. There were three doctors on there this week, and this one doctor, I'm talking about the Lord talking to him, this one particular doctor testified that this man came in, was in his 50s or something like that, and he had a heart attack. They brought him in, he was already, they worked on him 40 minutes, and couldn't get nothing, and so he just left and walked out. And pretty soon the Lord said, turn around and go back. He said, why, Lord? He's dead. He walked on a little bit more. And he said, the Lord said, turn around and go back. He said, okay, Lord. So he turned around, went back into the emergency room where he was at. And most of the people were gone. And he was praying, and he prayed over this man. And he said, I don't want to do it. This man is dead. He's saying this. And he said, okay. So then he told, one person came in or something. He said, shock him one more time. And the man said, well, he's dead. I said, shock him one more time. They shocked him.
he came back to life and he said, so that was listening to the Lord. That was what the testimony was.
Yeah.
And he said it on national TV. There was three of them. And he said, what Jesus says for you to do, he said that on TV. And I was really, it hit me. It hit me. I'm
it's fascinating the Lord would bring that up, because there's one footnote to, what I just told you about, is that this family, it's, like I said, the father was a fairly unbeliever. Absolutely on fire. The whole family. What a testimony. And what is the testimony about? It is about the glory of God. What God has done. And that's where the glory goes. And that's the exact exactly what you were saying, Barbara.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to, as we were talking, I forgot about it, but when I was about 18, I was working at Papa John's while I was going to college, and working around a bunch of kids my age, and usually I'm slow to respond. It's a weakness of mine. When I hear the Lord's voice, and I'm like, well, is it your voice, Lord? It, you know, and I really felt like he wanted me to witness this one kid there at work. And I started witnessing to him, just telling him about my life and my testimony. And then I invited him to church, and he came to church that following Sunday after I shared with him. And really was convicted and gave his heart to the Lord. And then the next week, he took a surfing trip over to the East Coast and died on the way back. It's just one of those things that, you know, Lord's always used and brings up that, you know, that obedience to his voice. You know, sometimes it is so important to act right away when you hear his voice. You know, you test it up against the scriptures, but you act. And I just think, man, Lord, I thank you for using me, but I had no idea the events that were going to occur after I shared the gospel with them. And so it's just something that's always... like I said, I forgot about it until we started talking again, but the Lord always brings them up to me, just, you know, listens to me, you know, speaking to you.
But isn't that our nature, though?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I joke that I'm a goat kicker, right? You know, my nature is disobedient. You know, my parents, well, I can't now, they're both in heaven, but they would tell you that I was disobedient from, you know, this stage on. You know, and so only, you know, and kind of curious. Mark, you were...
Yeah, I wanted to... I wanted to say something that happened to me this week, but it was the culmination of years of prayer. My sister and I have been very close to each other and to the Lord for as long as I can remember. But my brother has never been close. He and I have been, we've been kind of close, but not like my sister and I, and his relationship with the Lord isn't as strong as Laura's and mine, but you know, I've been praying for him for years and asking the Lord to open the eyes of his heart and to give him ears to hear and change his heart to respond. And this week I had to go in to have an ultrasound done on my carotid artery and my to see if there was a blockage there that needed to be taken care of. And my brother and his wife are down from Ohio, and we were visiting with them on Wednesday afternoon. And we, Debbie told him about what had gone on, and Bob was very concerned, and he told Debbie, he said, make sure that, you know, Mark tells us what happened and what, you know, what the results were. And so I got the call Friday night from the doctor, and it was a mild plaque. So just, you know, take some baby aspirin and, you know, keep the cholesterol down and everything will be fine. So I called my brother. He was the first one that I called. He was so joyous.
Aww.
And he said, Mark, I was praying for you last night. And that spoke to my heart. The prayers that we give for our friends, our family, the people that we love, just don't pay any attention to what you think you see, because God is at work. And He tells us that prayer is eternal. You know, in the Revelation, it tells us in verse 5 of chapter 5, or verse 8, it says, "And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." My mother prayed prayers for my son that she never saw answered yet. But you know what? They're starting to come to fruition now.
Praise God.
She's been dead for many years, but she prayed when he was born that this would take place. And he's starting to draw closer to the Lord and getting to understand the importance of who he is in his life and in the lives of others. And he calls and asks me to pray. That was because my mom prayed for him when he was a baby. Let us not get discouraged. Let us realize that this word is true. He speaks no careless word. All he says is purest truth, like silver seven times refined. And that refining process comes one way, through heat, through being put underneath the fire and the flame, and then the impurities come up and they're scraped off and it starts all over again. That's a lifetime process for me. I don't know about anybody else, but it's a constant ongoing thing. Let us not be discouraged. Let us keep trusting in Him, and He is the one that will make it come true.
Okay. Yeah, next week we'll get into why. The takeaway from today. Where are they? What do we take away?
We got another hour?
I was kind of hoping we could do it in just a short phrase or two. I was kind of trying to summarize there. Seriously. Right.
Obey. Listen to the Lord.
Yeah, I think in that, you had to boil it down. Listen, okay.
Learn this word.
Yeah, Kristen.
You have to remember, it's not even about us at all.
That's right.
So when we're deciding whether or not to obey, we have to look beyond ourselves and understand that, you know, we may not see God's bigger picture. It's just like when I'm dealing with my son, you know, I have to remind him, you don't know the reasons, all the reasons I'm telling you to do this. I just need you to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have time right now to explain it because you're not going to understand it. Just do what I said. And we have to get into that place where we can trust Him enough to realize it's not about us. We don't know the bigger picture. We just need to do what He said.
It's you know, whether it's your example, in that a lot of times it's unselfish, it's servant, but it's the nature of Jesus when we obey. And we're furthering His kingdom. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Your kingdom come.
I think we really just, one of the things that struck me is that we need to recognize our need. You know, when this is just many, many testimony, but what brought me to faith was that need, that understanding that I needed Him. And, you know, you mentioned a little while ago is all we really have to do is obey, but even that, I need to seek His. In other words, I'm asking
doesn't
you.
Doesn't come
naturally? What's that?
Doesn't come naturally?
No.
I'm speaking for me, not you. Yeah. I'm sure it comes naturally for
you. No, but I mean, speaking for everybody, is that our human nature is to run the other way.
Swallowing.
That's everybody. That's not me. That's not you. That's everybody.
But in other words, we all need a Savior.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And recognizing our need for Him, whether it be in salvation or post-salvation, or, you know...
or in church.
Yeah. Right. I mean, just drawing closer and saying, Lord, you might tell me what to do. Like, you know, you could give me all the wisdom of the world, like Solomon, but Lord, I'm just asking you to give me help me to obey.
Right.
Help me to know that it's not, there's no strength in me but you.
Yes.
It's not me.
But Mark is going to jump out of his chair and then we'll get closing. No, we're closing.
What we're talking about here is an attitude of humility. We have to be humble and realize we can't do it. And that's what it tells us in Philippians, that it says, have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself of all of the riches that he had sitting by the Father. And he humbled himself to be obedient, even obedience to death. And after that, God put him in a place where he raised him up and gave him a name which is above every other name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Humility and obedience. One follows the other.
Okay, why don't you stand up and join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for being all powerful. And we thank you for being Father of all loving. We thank you that you care to be a part of our lives, Lord. That you want a relationship with us, that you want to pour out your love on us, Lord. We thank you that even though we don't understand how you can talk to all of us at the same time, that you can do that, Lord. We thank you for your voice in our lives. Lord, we thank you that we're part of a body where so many people can share your testimony, that they have testimonies to share, lives that you've changed in so many different ways, healing the sick, setting the captives free, calling our loved ones to you, Lord. We are so grateful, Lord. It's almost impossible to put into words. Father, I'd ask that you help us to take your word today and bury it deep in our hearts, Lord God, so that it infects everything that we do from this day forward, Lord, that our lives are changed, that we become better disciples, Lord, more like our Savior Jesus. And Father, I ask that you'd watch over your children who is coming week. No, I take that back, Lord. I know you watch over us. I ask that you'd help us to be obedient, Lord, and we thank you for watching over us. And we thank you that you're in our lives, Lord. Our lives would be blessed without you. In the name of our Savior Jesus, his precious name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.